You know, I think that there are times when you and I will look at situations and circumstances just as we go through the Word of God, and particularly when we're looking at these miracles. And many times in our lives, we may sit back and say, man, I wish God would show up in a great, great way like that for me. I need a miracle in my life. I'm sure that if you follow the Lord long enough, there have been those times in your life when that's exactly the way you felt. You felt like, listen, I just need a miracle. But then what happens is we sit back and we say, well, you know what? I'm nothing special. I'm nobody important. And, you know, it's almost like those miracles are reserved for those folks that are important. Well, I want to call your attention, if that's your mindset, to the fact that, you know, when you look at these folks that we're dealing with in these miracles of the Messiah, these were ordinary people. These were not some, you know, people that were you know, just very special on the higher end of the socioeconomic spectrum or something to that nature. This is anybody. And then at times people will sit back and they'll say, well, you know what? That's just, you know, I'm just not one of those special people. Well, I'm here today to tell you, you are one of those special people. If you are a child of the King, He doesn't treat His children any differently. You are special. You are somebody. And you too can experience these same miracles. Well, we're going to take a look at another one here in just a minute. We're going to look at the healing of the mute man out of the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Grab that Bible. Come on back. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today to gather around God's Word and to glean some wisdom and some insight from the Word of our Lord. I mentioned just a moment ago that as we have continued to progress through the miracles of the Messiah, we see a vast array of people, but if you've noticed, they're mainly just normal people. It's not, you know, the ones that are the higher echelon. Now, that's not to say that there are not. There are some that have people who are a little bit higher on the social or political spectrum. But the majority of these are just normal people that Jesus came in contact with in His daily walk and in His daily life, or that people brought to Him amidst His regular ministry. So that should be good news for each and every one of us, that if we're looking for miracles in our lives, you know, Jesus is still there. He's still ready to provide them, and He's ready to provide them for you and I just as much as He is for the next person. So let's take a look at today's scripture as Jesus heals a mute man. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. We're going to begin reading at verse 32. That's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning with verse 32. It says, And as they went out, behold, they brought him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we thank you and we praise you for the moments that we have to be able to come together around your word. And Lord, I know that there are probably many of those today who are looking for miracles in their lives. We're thankful that your word shows and expresses to us that as your children, these miracles are available to us. Lord, we thank you for the compassion that we have read about. Each and every of these miracles that we've read about, there has been this continual theme, not only of your compassion, but also of your power over everything. So Lord, I pray that today that your Holy Spirit would speak to each and every heart. Lord, I pray that for your messenger, you would use me in these moments to disseminate your word in a way that the Holy Spirit can bring it to life to those that are listening. So Lord, again, we just ask that you bless our time together. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, once again, we look and we see another one of the miracles of the Messiah. Now, this passage occurs in the section of Matthew where Jesus is actually demonstrating his power through a series of miracles. You've noticed we've been in chapter 9 of Matthew. We may, you know, have another one or two to go in Matthew, but the bottom line is we're starting to see this series of miracles that he's doing. Now these acts were very significant for confirming Jesus' messianic identity and his divine authority. Now, during this time, the time frame in which we're talking about this era of history, Illness and conditions like muteness were often attributed to demonic possession. In other words, if somebody, you know, was found to be deaf or mute, they're like, oh, that must be some sort of demonic possession. And this was a reflection of the Augustinian worldview that was shared, you know, by many in the first century of Judea. Now, also, the cultural and the religious backdrop was that of a Jewish audience that was eagerly awaiting their promised Messiah. You have to remember that, you know, Jesus, when he arrived, it says he came to his own and his own received him not. Now, there were there was a whole bunch of religious people back in that day. And there were even those that were learned in the scriptures. They were very religious. Now, I use that term differently than what a lot of people think, because a person can be religious and it still not be Christian. Okay. So if you remember in the Old Testament, there had been the long prophesied Messiah. And when Jesus finally arrived on the scene, you know, they were like, well, he's not it. He's not the one. He's not it. Even after all of the miracles, even after all of the power, even after all of the authority that he showed in that earthly ministry, there were many that did not believe him. That's why in the scripture it says that he came to his own and his own received him not. So now when we begin to look at this particular passage in like the original Greek text, you know, there's a word that is used for mute, which can refer to someone who is either deaf or unable to speak. Now this acknowledges the physical state of the man that has been brought to Jesus, okay? We know that based on what we're reading in the scripture that this was somebody who was mute. Now, whichever side of that definition that you take, most of the time if we say mute today, that means somebody that cannot speak. And the scripture also points to the fact that he was mute, meaning he couldn't speak. And I'll highlight that in just a moment. But the word for demon-possessed, because it said not only was he mute, they said it was a man that was mute that was demon-possessed. So demon-possessed in the Greek is suggesting, you know, not just possession, but also a condition directly attributed to evil spiritual influence in this man's life. In other words, what it's really pointing to is the fact that the reason he was mute was because he was demon-possessed, all right? The passage then shows us that as soon as Jesus expels the demon, the man's ability to speak is immediately restored. And of course, obviously, this astounded the witnesses, but remember what we were talking about just a moment ago. In the Greek, it was saying if somebody was mute, that could mean that they either couldn't speak or they couldn't hear. I believe that according to the way the scripture is written, this was a man who was brought to them that could not speak because of the demon that had possessed him. Because when Jesus healed him, when Jesus expelled the demon from him, it says that the man immediately was able to speak. Now, I believe that if this was something that he could do in the past, the people that were around him that also knew him, knew that he had been mute, I don't know for how long, obviously long enough that there were people who knew that this man was a mute, so that when Jesus expelled the demon, it says that he spoke immediately. There was immediate restoration. And that was the astounding part. These witnesses knew that this was a man who was mute. He could not speak. And maybe they had had dealings with him. Maybe there were family members there, and they knew the condition. They knew that this wasn't something that was fake. They knew this man had been this way maybe for a long time. But the bottom line was they knew when the healing took place that there was something different. And it says that it astounded them that the man could speak. So obviously that is pointing to mute being the definition of the fact that he couldn't speak. Now, the healing of the mute man, it's very demonstrative, if that's a word. In other words, it demonstrates the authority and the compassion of Jesus as the Messiah. Now, it's very interesting that for every miracle that we've been talking about, one of the things that really floats to the top on it is the compassion of Jesus. You know, he knew the condition that the people in these miracles were in, and he had compassion upon them. In other words, he felt for them. I don't like to say that he felt sorry for them, but he felt sorry for the condition that they were in. So even in this miracle, we see once again the compassion of Jesus, but also what we see is that there's a challenge for us to recognize the powerful truth that God's grace restores and it liberates those who are in bondage. Now, maybe today you're here and you're listening, and maybe there's something you are in bondage to. Maybe there's something, you know, a lot of times in this day and age, we like to call them demons, but we'll sit back and say, well, I've been fighting my demons. And you know what I'm talking about when I say that. But the thing I want you to know most of all is that the Lord does have compassion upon you as one of His children, and He wants to exercise that compassion, and He wants to liberate you from that. He wants to deliver you from whatever it is that you may be in bondage to, you know? But the thing about it is we've got to give that over to Him, all right? Now, as we go back to our scriptures once again, you know, starting with verse 32, one of the things that we note is that there's this earnestness and faith of those who brought the man to Jesus. Somebody cared enough about this man who and said, you know what, I've been hearing all these things about Jesus. Maybe some of those people had even witnessed the things that Jesus had done. Maybe they had seen some of the miracles He had done up to that point, but word had spread, it had spread fast. And there were some people in this mute man's life that loved him enough that they also had compassion on him. They wanted to see him healed, and it was their job, in their mind, it was their job to get this man to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who could be the healer. Now, boy, there's a big-time lesson, a sermon, a Bible study, whatever you want to call it, just out of that. Do we have the faith that the friends of this mute man had? You know, think about the faith that it took for them. Not only that, you know, all of a sudden they show up to this mute man and say, hey, look, listen, we want to try to take you to Jesus. I've heard a lot about him. He's done a lot of miracles. We want to take you to him and see if he can heal you. You know, I don't know how the conversation took place. The scripture doesn't allude to that. But it could have been one of those situations where the man himself may have been somewhat skeptical. But yet, you know, when you're in a point of desperation, just like we've talked about over the last couple weeks, desperation will drive you to desperate measures. So even if the man may have had some doubts, he probably thought to himself, what have I got to lose? You know, let's go. Now, it could have been as well that he had the faith and said, yeah, let's go see Jesus. But the whole bottom line of this is that there were some people in this man's life that cared enough about him, that had compassion enough for him, that they wanted to get him in the presence of Jesus. You see, often it is the intercession or the intersection and faith of somebody else that brings us into the presence of God. Yeah, you know, how many times have we cared enough or had compassion enough for those that we love in our lives that we want to get them into the presence of Jesus, that their needs may be met? And we talked about it even last week. You know, sometimes they're the physical needs, sometimes there's spiritual needs, sometimes there's both. But the Lord is able to heal all of those. He is able to bring restoration in all of those areas, as well as transformation. Okay? You see, the interplay between physical infirmity and spiritual bondage here in this text signifies that Jesus' mission involves holistic restoration. In other words, that's meaning that he is going to address both the spiritual as well as the physical needs. And many, many times as you look through the Word of God and as we go through these miracles, you will see that Jesus very often took care of the physical need before the spiritual need. In other words, it wasn't one of those situations where somebody could say, you know, to Jesus, and it wasn't when they went to him that Jesus would say, well, I'll tell you what, if you believe in me, then I'll heal you. He didn't say that. You know, his compassion said, I'm going to heal you regardless of what you think, but prayerfully and hopefully, when you see the hand of Jesus work in your life, you will understand the truth of the fact that he is the Messiah and that he wants to heal your spiritual needs just as much as he does your physical needs, okay? So Jesus in this particular passage is addressing both the spiritual as well as the physical needs of the man. Now, verse 33 reveals the outcome of this particular miracle. The outcome is simply this: the mute spoke. You know, this simple phrase underscores the transformative power that Jesus brings in lives. Now, remember what we said before. You know, we said that the actual Greek definition of the word used for mute could be either a loss of hearing or a loss of speech. We believe, and evidence, scriptural evidence, points to the fact that it was the loss of his speech, because that's what overwhelmed people, that the man was able to do something that he had not been able to do. When Jesus healed him, the mute man spoke. And this phrase shows about how Jesus transforms our lives. You know, where human effort could not succeed. We've seen that in so many of these miracles as well. Take, for instance, the one we covered not long ago of the woman with the issue of blood. It said she had exhausted all of her expenses. She had been to all the doctors, and I guess you would call them specialists of that day, and they weren't able to do anything for her. But where all of our human efforts don't succeed, that's when the Messiah intervenes, and he is the one who can bring wholeness. Whether it's on the spiritual side of your equation or whether it's on the physical side of your equation. It could be other things as well. It could be psychological. There are all kinds of things that just hinder us so much. But the Lord is able to bring healing and to bring wholeness in each and every one of those areas of your life. You see, the amazement of the multitude points to the unprecedented nature of Jesus' work. Which had essentially surpassed all that they had ever experienced in Israel prior to that particular point, according to what it was that they said. In other words, they looked at it and said, this is unusual. You know, this is not something that you see every day. And this also highlighted the power of Jesus. And a lot of them were sitting back saying, I've never seen anything like this before, okay? This is not just a miracle, but it's a revelation of the kingdom of God in action. That's the way the Lord works. You know, I always like to use this particular statement. You know, too many times people say, well, that was way back in history. That was back when Jesus was alive. That was back when Jesus was walking on this earth. But yet, this is 2025. Well, folks, I remind you again that we serve the same God today that this man served back in the time when Jesus touched him and healed him. You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same one who had the power to make the dead arise, to make the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, is the same God that we serve. And his power has not been diminished over time. He still can and he still does want to do these things in your life and mine as well. So it's not just a miracle, but this is a look, a peek, a revelation into the kingdom of God in action. So what does all that mean to you and I today? You know, when we sit back and we look at this, no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, you may be in that situation where today you would express, Lord, I need a miracle. Maybe it's on the physical side of things. Maybe you got that doctor's report that wasn't so good. Yeah, maybe it's on the spiritual side. Maybe there have been some things that you have been wrestling with, maybe for a while, and the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart that Jesus is very able and very capable of bringing healing and bringing restoration in your life. So in our lives today, how do we make application to what we're learning? Okay, this passage calls us to reflect upon our understanding of Christ's authority and his power. Do you honestly believe that he can do that? How many times in these miracles that we have been discussing has Jesus said, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be whole? What do you want me to do for you? Do you believe I have the power to change you? You know, do we bring our mute, as we're referring to this passage, do we bring our mute conditions, our struggles, our wounds, our sins to Jesus, trusting in his ability to heal us, trusting in his ability to restore us completely, okay? You know, we're also reminded of the importance of a faith-filled intercession for those around us who may be in spiritual or physical bondage. So, you know what? We can find ourselves in the position of somebody in this particular story. Maybe we're the ones like the mute in our scripture today that needs to come to Jesus. Maybe there are those in our lives who have compassion upon us and love us enough and want us to be in the presence of Jesus. Now, one of the biggest differences is we can't pull out a newspaper or we can't Google it and say, well, where's Jesus going to be speaking this week and actually go find him in physical body, much like these folks did for this mute. But what we do know is that we do know that he is ever present, and we can be carried into the presence of a holy God through his only begotten Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Holy Spirit talks to us, and therefore, he is with us now, okay? So maybe we're one of those people. Maybe God is calling us to be one of the people who looks at those in our lives and has compassion upon them and want to bring them into the presence of Jesus, that they may be healed, that they may be transformed, and that they may be restored to usefulness again, not only for himself, but also for themselves, okay? Where do you find yourself in this particular story today, okay? Yeah, as you think about it, the miracle of the mute man speaking once again challenges us with a profound implication of Jesus' authority. That is huge. Jesus had the authority to cast out demons. I love it as we read through these, anytime he encountered those that were demon-possessed or whatever, they knew exactly who Jesus was, and they knew that Jesus had authority, ultimate authority over them. That when Jesus were to cast them out, and I'm thinking now of the one who had the legion of demons that we talked about a few weeks ago, and when Jesus called them out, made all those demons leave that young man, they didn't have a choice. They didn't sit back and say, well, I don't want to go. I'm going to stay here. You know, they actually pleaded with Jesus, let us go into the pigs. You know, give us some place to go. So the bottom line is Jesus has the ultimate authority. You know, and it's a call for a deeper faith. You know, I'd be willing to say that each and every one of us could take the challenge to strengthen our faith as we follow our Lord, you know. It's not only a call for deeper faith, but it's also an invitation to seek his restorative power in our lives. And let us be vessels through which others can also encounter the compassion that is modeled to us by Jesus and that transformative love that only Christ can bring in hearts and lives. Could we take that up as a challenge, not only for ourselves? Maybe you're the one that's in need today. If you're not, I say that you need to thank the Lord for that. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you just have compassion for, and it's just really bothering your heart, the condition, the spiritual condition, or maybe even the physical condition that they're in as we speak right now. You know, what is the Lord driving you to do in the life of that person that's going to get them closer to him? I hope and trust and pray that each and every one of us can be that this particular week as we go through our lives. Maybe for ourselves. Maybe we need to work on us first and then be something special in someone else's life. Now, I will also say this. If the Lord has showed up in your life in a big way, like we've been talking about today, maybe there's been a time when you've been restored, whether it's a physical health or whether it's whether it's your spiritual health, and you've seen the Lord show up in a great, great fashion, well, then you have a testimony to be able to tell to those who are in need of exactly what you've experienced in your life. There's no accident that God has placed you in their presence. And I pray that God will give us the strength to be able to share our story with those, especially those who need to hear it. Some have asked me before, they'll say, well, how do you know if somebody needs to hear your story? All you have to do is listen, because they'll all but ask you. You know, they'll tell you, hey, I'm in this situation. And you can sit back and say, look, I've been there where you are, and let me tell you what helped in my life. Let me tell you what restored me. Let me tell you where my physical strength and well-being came from. Let me tell you where my spiritual strength and well-being comes from. And you can point them directly to Jesus. Okay? So that's your challenge this week. You know, if you're in need, you seek the Lord. If you know somebody and have compassion on somebody in your life that you know is in need of some healing, then be that catalyst. I like that word. Catalyst means something that starts a reaction. And may you be the catalyst in their life that brings them to Jesus. I hope and pray that that's exactly what will take place. Listen, as we close our time today, I want to go ahead and share with you what your what your Bible reading for this week's going to be. This week, I want you to spend some time in John's Gospel and chapter 6. Next week, we're actually going to be looking at the 18th miracle of the Messiah, not necessarily in this order. We've just been covering different miracles. This is the 18th one that we will be covering. And next week, we're going to talk about the feeding of the 5,000. And that specifically comes out of John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. So spend a little bit of time in that this week so that we may have that opportunity to be in the exact same place as we come together for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church next week. Let me pray with you as we close our time today. Now, Father, as we come to you today, we stand in awe of your Son's mighty work. Lord, we witness that through the accounts that we read in your word of his healing. And the one that we've read today, Lord, in the healing of the mute man. You know, we ask for the grace, that unmerited favor, to recognize and bring our limitations and our struggles to you. And Lord, we ask that we do that trusting fully in your power to restore and to renew us. Help us, Lord, to be instruments of your love, bringing others to encounter your healing and your saving grace. And Lord, we will be so careful to thank you and praise you for what we know you will do. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. I want to invite you to join us. We are located in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, 1715 Highway 68 North. Our service times start at 10:45 on Sunday morning. That's our worship service. We do have discipleship opportunities through Sunday school, through some small groups. We have Awana for the kids during the school year, and we would love to have the opportunity to see you. I hope and pray I'll get to see you this Sunday. God bless.